Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.16, Express Elevator to Hell, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
Jess.
151 days.
And our guest, Shayla.
And, yeah, I'm here. Barely.
Chapter 24. Harry sets up his spell and waits for an attack to start. Rollin comes to check in, and Nelson calls to ask Harry for his help. After Harry takes a break and resets the spell, an attack begins.
It is both highly convenient and highly inconvenient.
I was going to say, it was good of them to wait.
I was going to say, first he sits there for like hours going numb in every joint and limb, and then, yeah, and then when he's finally ready to get back to it, it's like, oh, now it's going. Okay.
I think Rollins walking in, just his reaction is hilarious, because it's like, hey... What you doing? Playing a little magician? It's fun.
Turns out Rollins has already seen Murphy and has his candle and admits his superiors will be extremely unhappy to find out that he's there.
Yeah, he's supposed to be not on shift and...
At home recovering?
Yeah, not unofficially on duty either. And
liability!
Right?
I still love how when we first... meet up with him way earlier in the book, like before the Reaper attack. And he's like, no, like I gotta do this by the book. Like I've already been demoted twice. And he's like really trying so hard to play by the book. And now he's at this point of, well, if I die, I die.
Yeah.
If I lose my badge, I lose my badge.
Yeah, that shit ain't working. People are dying. So let's see if your shit works. It did last time. So
yeah.
I do like that he sends Rollins to go take Mouse on a walk. And I'm always just like, why? Why do we need Mouse out of the room? It's so suspicious every time, and this time it just seems straight up to be. Mouse is hungry.
Yeah. Well, fair, because like you say, he's been sitting there for a couple hours. He's got him like, yeah, you know what? Mouse probably could use a bathroom break, and I don't know.
Harry Dresden is a responsible dog owner, people.
Right.
So responsible.
And Mouse is so patient.
So unbelievably patient. Yes. Go, yeah, go get him a hot dog or something, but not the nachos. Uh-oh, you made that mistake before, Harry.
Harry takes a moment to have a snack and feels a little wonky from holding the spell for so long, and then suddenly Nelson calls.
I gotta give him props, though. I could not have sat that long the way he did with even during this podcast. Every once in a while, it's like I always start to like sit down and like cross my legs or curl up. And then I'm like, no, I have to remember to unstretch before we start. Because I know in like 5 minutes, they're going to be sore. I'm going to be like...
And we're on relatively comfortable...
furniture and have... Yeah, I was like...
What, is he kneeling in a circle?
Yeah, I was like, kudos
hotel
for...
Hotel floor, no less.
You, yeah.
And those hotel floors, they look nice, but they sure as hell do not feel nice.
No, like you say, they're made for that heavy-duty traffic, so they're always so hard and stiff. And yeah, no, kudos. I would have wussed out of that, I think, long before. I would have to make just like an extra big circle just so there's room for me to like move around and shift and like cross my legs and stretch them out.
Harry's got that ability to be disciplined though and shut everything else out.
I was gonna say that almost above all the magic-y stuff and like mental gymnastics and things that he does, it's that. It's like the fact that he can like, yeah, literally just kneel there.
Discipline.
Yeah. But yeah, finally he gives in and he's like, all right, I gotta pee. And like, he's like, I'm kind of hungry. I kind of have to pee. None of these things are getting easier the longer this goes.
Well, like many times before, you know, and especially when we had Lydia a couple books ago, Harry's go-to answer for people he doesn't want to specifically protect is, just go to church, man. I don't have time for you. Go to church.
Okay, so clearly that is a very well-established location within the books and Chicago in general.
Yes.
I still love, because this translates as well to horror, how hallowed ground, you're safe. You have sanctuary, and we see that so much. Although one scene that kind of gets me, it's not so much a horror movie, but it's Corpse Bride, where all the dead, like, come back up, and they're going to have, like, the wedding at the church, and the priest's just like, be gone! And, like, the dead people are like, keep it down.
Yeah, and they just keep going, yeah.
And they just keep, like, waltzing in, because
but
they're
they
not,
weren't
like,
malevolent. Intentions.
Yeah, exactly. Annabelle, I think it was the first or second? No, it was definitely the first one. The priest collects the Annabelle doll, is trying to take it into the church, but is stopped by the demon. The demon can only go so far, but can use enough power before the priest walks into the doors to kind of knock him off, get the doll, and fuck off and go do its evil doll shit. But the priest is fucked up, but if he would have walked in, the demon couldn't do shit.
Had he made it past that threshold? See, there's thresholds again. I do like, I mean, and again, depending on your whole philosophy and theology, but I mean, it kind of makes sense because religion, from a certain point of view, is that same. It's all in the belief. It's all supernatural. So it makes sense that it can ward off, right? It's good supernatural juju. Of course, it should be the counterpart to the bad evil juju, right? So I was like, I do like that it kind of fits in that way, that it does sort of make a logical reason for why these bad things can't do harm.
And in part, a lot of what Harry says is it depends on what the person believes themselves. I'm not super big on God, but the carpenters are. So the carpenters get a nice big umbrella shade from that guy's help. But I don't, even though I believe he exists, but I don't really believe in him.
It's semantics. Along
it's really
so well.
Weird, you know. Yeah. But I like the St. Mary's is, you know, you don't even have to believe. They've got so much belief working for them. You can go inside anyways and you're good, okay?
That too, right? And I mean,
any non-believer inside St. Mary's gets a
you gotta
friends
have
and family
faith,
pass.
The faith, they've got to have faith. The faith, the faith.
Yeah, that's the go-to song for church.
But even before he tells him to go to the church, boyfriend Nelson, like, thinking he's being followed, like, he's not safe. He doesn't want to discuss things over the phone. And then Harry's just like, yeah, just go to the church.
Because it sounds paranoid doesn't mean there isn't an 8-foot demon following you.
Well, exactly. And it just goes back to Harry being all like, yeah, you can tell me this shit. Like, I'm going to believe you because I have seen it all. Yeah. I'm in the yellow pages. Like, come on.
Yeah. I believe the quote you were looking for.
I know I had it wrong. I know. God damn it. But Kansas said, good job. And I said, thank you so much.
Just give it to her. Just give it to her.
I requoted it to fit Nelson's specific circumstances.
Of course, yes. No, it's, but yeah. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there's an invisible monster about to eat your face.
That's
but you were
said,
very
right?
close. You were like very close. It was just an 8-foot instead of an invisible, but
phobophages, okay, gosh.
And I understand not wanting to go to the cops because, especially for Nelson, he's a former felon. He's been in for misdemeanors and such before. And plus, he also just knows if he goes to the cops, they're just going to, like, assume he's on drugs or something and throw him in a cell.
What, you're insane, too? Awesome.
Right, yeah, given everything that's gone down in the last, you know, 24 hours or whatever.
It's yes, eyes on the 7th floor, kid.
And this is more the same that we were talking about in the last couple of episodes, where it's kind of cold and calculated for Harry and Murph to be. We've got one kid actively begging us for help and knows that he's in danger, or we've got all these other people that don't know what's going to hit him. Who do we choose? And I understand, okay, yes, where the most people are is the whatever. You can send Nelson to the church. Hopefully he'll get there and be good. Stay here. But it's also at the same time, I'm like, again, Dresden, shut down the convention, you POS.
Yeah, no shit.
There's, yeah. I mean, a lot of different ways he could have done it, too. Fire.
He just burns down the hotel. Ha-ha, I killed them all before you could, phobophages.
To the mill.
Yeah, so Harry sets the circle back up, and immediately the ward flame candle fires up. And
that's crazy good timing.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Lucky.
I love kind of reading about that, because you see in movies with seances or, like, some sort of demonic possession, just that burst of flame, and, like, I could envision it. Although my first envision was from the Deathly Hallows Part 1, Harry Potter, like, they're playing around with the wand and all of a sudden, like, flame shoots up and it's like, ah! Like, that kind of popped up and it's like, oh, that's not really horror, but I'm going to laugh about this now because that's just in my head.
Yeah, Potterverse has never come up in this.
No, first time, actually. That's crazy. 8 books in.
Got it.
Got this.
The other Harry.
The other Harry. But you see at seances, like, all of a sudden, like, flames are blowing out. They're, like, shooting into the air, like, something.
I always like that effect when it's got the, like, the,
I love it.
The giant torch that
pyrotechnics. I love that. Yeah. Right? Sorry. An invisible demon. But yes.
She's still on it.
My brain just...
You know what's funny is that I thought monster was the wrong word, and I wasn't confident enough to call her on it, but...
It was the wrong word. Because we, you, yeah...
But I also appreciate, like, when he's trying to cast the spell, it's, like, counting down and he's going off of, like, can I pull this off?
I gotta get this done.
I've gotta get this done. It really built that suspense.
Totally. Because Bob told him, you have 10 seconds, maybe, depends how fucking good they are. And yeah, and then you got Harry on this countdown. He's like, fuck.
Goddamn phone call.
You know, it's kind of, you know, this ironic, haha, everything sucks to be Harry. Because at the beginning of the book, he's trying to do this ritual and he goes through the whole effort of doing everything properly. And then he comes to this hotel room and he kneels for hours and hours and hours. And then he hangs up the phone with Nelson. He's like, oh, shit, wait, I wasn't ready.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, on the one hand, okay, he's kind
Come
of
on the other. I stepped what all the training was for.
Right? At least it wasn't while he was still in the bathroom. But, you know, yeah, exactly, right?
Harry is very subjected to Murphy's Law.
Murphy and Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Yes, he's the epitome. He's like the living embodiment of...
Stay prepared or they're going to get your ass.
Go.
Stay prepared so you don't have to get prepared. What is that fucking quote?
What?
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
That's it.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling. Chapter 25. Harry is successfully able to deflect the phobophages from attacking, all except for one. He finds the attacking phage and manages to stop it, but not before it has killed people and caused mass panic. After Murphy gains control of the scene, Harry and Rollins go to track the remaining phages, but are apprehended by Glau and Derby Crane.
Bastards.
Now can I?
Yes.
It's a motherfucking xenomorph! Oh, I read that too. I was like, I know this.
So my guess on it is it's more the alien queen. No, it's definitely derived from aliens out of the entire franchise, not including Romulus, which was a phenomenal fucking movie. Scared the shit out of me, actually.
It's good.
That was the most recent one, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. And okay. With
coming
Romulus,
up with the second one.
With Romulus, I have not had that much anxiety from anything else in the Alien franchise since the first time I watched Alien vs. Predator. That was my intro to the Alien and Predator worlds. But I was 12 when that movie came out. And the chest bursting scene, I think it took me until I was like 16 before I could actually sit and watch it and not like want to die.
Okay, I'll give you that one for the age difference.
I think it's the third one I saw in theaters. This one where she's like been brought back and she shares DNA with the...
Resurrection.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that one too
much. But the most impressive thing about that one, though, is that scene where she throws the basketball behind her back is actually her doing the shot. There's
That's
no
because
effect.
Sigourney Weaver is a fucking queen and a goddess.
She is awesome.
Yes.
She's gorgeous. She's perfect. I fucking love Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, very much. But I was going to say
the snaps. I can't snap my fingers, but no.
I'm there in spirit.
So the reason I think it's the Alien Queen is there's quite a few quotes from Aliens. So, of course, iconically, Harry yells, "Get away from her, you bitch."
Yeah.
Now, that is the most notable line from the movie. It comes straight from Ripley herself. It's completely infamous.
That's what clued me in, because I haven't seen any of the Alien movies.
But that line is very well known.
Exactly. So I was like, the actual description didn't quite do it for me.
I'll give you a bit of the lore. There's a little girl in the movie that they find on the space station. She is the only survivor Like, and she managed to make it like a week or something before she was found. And her Ripley like automatically is drawn to her and bonds with her. So she becomes very protective. The get away from her, you bitch, is when the alien queen is trying to get Newt. Now, what's really fun is the director's cut. When they find Ripley in the space station, she's been in cryo sleep for 57 years because her space station got knocked off course. It wasn't found for that amount of time. Now, you find out in the director's cut in an extra scene that Ripley actually had a daughter who is long dead because she was in cryosleep for so long. So she lost her daughter. And then she finds Newt and can kind of, it's kind of like her redemption and her second chance of being able to be a mother again.
They based one of the games off of her daughter looking for her.
Yes, they did. Now, with that, it like adds another dimension and a layer to not only Ripley, but that relationship. And it just gives a hell of a lot more power when she's like, get away from her, you bitch. And then what's really sad is the beginning of the third movie, it crashes and Ripley's the, like, the next pod they're all in. It crashes, Ripley's the only survivor, and it's fucking dead. So, like, she's not meant to be a mom.
And the cat bite it, too, or something? Like,
not the cat.
No, the cat made it.
Does the cat die?
The cat was alive. It stayed on the space station. She didn't take it to the next.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So the other two lines, there's Harry asks the xenomorph, is it going to be a stand-up fight or just another bug hunt? It's a play on the actual line said by the lovely Bill Paxton from Aliens.
He's got all the good lines.
Oh, he does. Is it going to be a stand-up fight, sir, or just a bug hunt? And then there's like another one.
Game over, man. Game over.
Game over. Like Bill Paxton, I love him in that movie. And then Corporal Hicks, like all the aliens are coming and he's like holding a gun. He's ready to have the stand off. And it's, you want some of this. And it's as the xenomorph is coming at Harry. We're just calling it a xenomorph at this point. But I think it's more of like the alien queen from this. But they did such great details. You know exactly what it is. It made my nerd heart very happy. I'm a huge alien fan as it is. Like, it got everything to, like, its physique, the two mouths, the acid blood. Like, it was, I had so much fun reading.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That was why I'm grateful he did throw the lines in, because you get the description first, and the description didn't do a whole lot for me until he mentions, and then I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, okay, now with your description, I can apply that to the image I have, right? But it's like just bare bones on its own. I wasn't cut, you know, I'm just like, okay, some creature monster bug thing. And then you're like, oh, wait. Okay.
The nice thing about these books is, you know, it's not just Jim Butcher being a fan, but Harry's probably also seen the movies.
You definitely see it throughout some of the chapters. Like, he'll say a certain line that's like a direct line from another movie.
Yeah.
And there's another chapter that I will be involved in where there's like one particular line, and Jess will know this line too, because we used to hear it all the time at Banquet. But I'm not going to say what it is.
Spoilers. But yeah, it's funny that you say that the other one that first filled you with anxiety was the Aliens versus Predators, because I have actually seen that movie because somebody's like, oh, you gotta watch it. I made the mistake of being like, you know, feigning mild interest at work or something, like with a coworker, and they're like, oh, I have it, I'll lend it to you. I'm like, okay, well, I have to watch it because you're going to ask me about it. And I just, it didn't do a whole lot for me. And again, I'm not a fan of the genre or anything like that. I had not seen any of the Alien or Predators, right? So I'm like, okay, I got the gist. I know of these things, kind of. But I just remember thinking it being, and now again, I was an adult. I was older than you when you saw it. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'll give you that one a bit if you were. But again, I'm like, for all of these like ancient things, you know, everything's like in stones and pyramids from what I remember. But everything was like mechanically operated. I was like, what?
Well, for Alien versus Predator, they kind of go that the Predators lived on Earth and they were worshipped as gods, and they would demand these sacrifices because Predators are the ultimate hunters.
Yeah.
And they're constantly going to different planets and like scanning and looking for the biggest, toughest guy.
Yeah, they take the traits of their...
The apex predators or whatever. Yeah.
Like they're trying to become the ultimate hunters. So they're basically, though we can kind of ignore the Predator came out in like 2018. That was just fucking stupid.
But all I, like I say, I remember it being like a bunch of like hunting through like friggin' pyramids or something like that.
Yeah, like yeah.
So absolutely ancient. But then everything's got like a secret panel and like bio switch in a hall. Like, you know, I again, it's been quite some time
and
since
it's
I've
in the
seen
Arctic
it.
Too. Like, the,
well, yeah,
that's what the extension of reality is for.
Well, like, another yeah, thing kind of, we have to remember with the Predator too is if you really look into like the graphic novels and the other lore and even the movie that came out a few years ago, Prey, these things go way, 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 way back. Yeah. Like to the beginning times. Now, when they set, because basically like these hunts, like these predators are actually teenagers. It's their rite of passage into manhood. So what they're doing is they're sending them off into this maze that the predators know because they're hunting these xenomorphs. They want to make it challenging for these teenagers to become like,
yeah,
again,
yeah, yeah.
It's their just, their ascent into manhood. So
yeah, they're
right making there. It a game. It's a hunting for sport.
Yeah.
That's just, why it's like a whole maze and all these panels. It's they're trying to trap these creatures so
yeah.
they can get the upper hand. And of course, like they know the layouts.
Yeah, no, it's just a slight disconnect between them. Like you said it with all this ancient material and stuff like that, but then with all this like height, you know, it was like, why not just have like a space age pyramid? You know what I mean? Why is it still all rock and bricks and blocks and stuff?
The interiors of their spaceship also have that aesthetic.
Yeah, because yeah, again, like these species are also like, but yeah. years and years ahead.
Back to Harry.
Yes,
yeah,
back
yeah,
to
yeah.
Harry.
So, yeah, so he's going along, finds this thing, and of course, there's. Now, this I kind of didn't get a little bit because he's making a really big deal about how all the lights have gone out. And
okay. I say how lucky he is that he made it as close as he could that he could get out of the elevator without.
That too, that too, that he, yes, because he was just too damn.
That just seemed like asking for trouble. Oh, stairs are going to take too long. I'm going to take an elevator. I was like, you should have been trapped in that thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
In all fairness. But I guess, you know, again, it's one of those things that elevators are like low tech enough that it's. Because he doesn't usually have too much trouble until he breaks them.
We're going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's still concussed because what happened
yeah,
last
like,
time.
Yeah, he's like, he's so drained.
The
he's
power
like,
went out the last time an attack happened. What's yeah. the first thing he does? Get into
the
something
elevator.
He can get trapped in.
Yeah.
During
okay, but we've
an
made
attack,
the
he knows what's happening.
On yeah. his concussion and his exhaustion for quite a while now. I think he needs to come up with a new excuse. It's going to start that's, getting old, Harry.
That's every book. But anyway.
Fortunately, he was able to pry him out himself out of that elevator.
Yes. But so, yeah, so he's making this whole big thing about and the backup generators aren't coming on and blah, blah, blah. And oh, no, it's all dark. And he's got his little and then this girl comes along with, like, the lighter. And he's like, no, put it. I'm like, well, how is that? You obviously, it knocked all the lights and power. It's not having any trouble hunting in the dark. Why is your light necessary other than making
I think it's a beacon.
A beacon.
He would rather just be the focus on him if he's got his own light.
Is that what it is? Because I was like, how is this different than him having two sorts
yeah,
of light from his like, amulet and his...
I think it's just like, yeah, let me be the one waving around a light, not
See,
you, Stephen.
And that's okay. the vibe I got from it, too. It's like, he's trying to protect as many people as humanly possible.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if his day gets fucked up. He can fight this thing off where all these bystanders are who are trying to run out of the convention, like they're fucked.
I guess maybe it's just the way, like, he was so vehement about it. He's like, turn that off, like, you know, instead of just being like, hey, no, put your light out and don't, you know, like, yeah, just blend
he's
in.
He's stressed.
Well, yeah, there's so much chaos around him. Yeah, if I'm trying to, like, lure this creature to me and I see an innocent bystander with a light, I'm gonna fucking yell at them too.
If I hear the word mommy one more time.
You know, I just love that that the interior of the convention is filled with fog.
That too.
Yes.
Like, what a cool sounding effect.
Yeah. Which would have been great
especially,
if not for all the real death coming along with it.
With the new description of how his shield bracelet emits
shed
sparks.
Sparks
this is
like,
a little
yeah.
bit like the Walmart problem too when they were him and Murphy were being
the memory
in
fog, yeah.
Yeah, it was just as like, if you are in a life or death situation and there are screaming crowds, there will be a mystical magical mist to overtake you and eat you and mama.
Because it just makes things that much harder and more confusing. Yeah.
I think for how all of like the books that we've covered up to this point, which ones I'd want to see created, like made into a movie or like a new TV series, I think this one would be a really
this would
great
be a fun
one.
Not
one.
The dinosaur?
Well, the dinosaur one would be cool too, and or when they're fighting in the above in
oh yeah
fairy,
in
the fairy war. Yeah.
That would
I
also be cool.
I'd just like
but
to see how they do a xenomorph without
copyright.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Which is probably why that one hasn't been done yet.
It's cool because we have a convention here every year around Halloween called
Screamfest?
Yeah. And it's not actually really all that scary. It's more geared for younger people, but it's fucking filled to the brim with fog. Like, fake fog machines are every 2 feet, and it is fun to be able just to hide from your friends very easily.
Yes, I've never actually been to it, but yeah, I know you went with your friends before, and I know somebody that's worked it a few years as one of the, they just, yeah, people that'll do costumey acting things and just wander around and
it's a nice job. It's a nice gig. Who wants to be hired to get dressed up every day for 10 days and scream at people?
Yeah, right? Just that, yeah. And she did a pretty good one.
Just sitting there. I don't even need to dress up. I'll just fucking stand there and scream at
just
people.
Just keep hiring me off the street.
It's another day at 7-Eleven. What are you talking about?
Jessica's just like pale enough. She never has to add the pancake makeup. She's just already that white. She glows in the black lights anyways.
So do I, Jess. So do I.
Yeah.
So Harry decides to call upon Hellfire. And I think this is probably the first time I think I recall him actually intentionally doing it. Like, was there a time before? Because he's accidentally done
it. He's accidentally done it.
Where, like, somebody pointed out that it was Hellfire that he was actually conjuring up.
Yes.
But this time he, like, did it on purpose.
I think he has a little bit because it was the last book in Deadbeat or whatever that he started exactly sort of did it unconsciously, accidentally. And yeah. So I think he has a little bit now. But again, it's this kind of thing where he's a little bit like talking to Lash and using her advice. He's like, yeah, I don't want to get in too deep because, you know, that's kind of now he's connected where it's. So, yeah, he kind of tries not to. But yes, I think he has a little bit once or twice because he does mention
it's worth it this time.
Yeah, but that he pumped more into it this time, right? So with, I think it was just fighting some of the monsters earlier in this book or whatever where he drew on a little, could to get that little extra oomph too. But yes, he hasn't a lot. It's one of the few times he has intentionally, and he definitely, yes, has ramped it up this time. He's like, all right, we're going for it.
And as we mentioned, there's the appearance of a xenomorphage.
A xenophage.
Yeah, but he's a xenomorphage.
A xenophage.
But this one, because it's not actually the thing, it's because it's like the...
Yeah.
Phobophage morphed into the, right? That's...
Or a xenophage.
I don't know.
So he gets a little slap happy.
I have to find it.
Hunting down this bug. He's so determined. I'm not letting you get away. Go fuck yourself. I'm tired of you killing people. I'm going to get your ass. The thing tried to apparently run, which, you know, I don't really care. Oh, no, you're running from Harry Drosnoff. You just had to kill a bunch of people. Die.
Yeah, these passages definitely, like, I wrote down that they have, like, a bloodlust feel.
Yeah, I mean...
just a little bit, because he's, like, where he says he kind of, like, blacks out when it comes to...
I guess so. I see that... I don't know. I don't... Harry and you are being harsh in didn't have to go that far, and I'm like, kind of did. I mean, you kept this convention open to bait these people. Use them as bait. And now they're there, and now you're fucking gonna extinguish them. Don't let them get away then. Of course not. This is the whole point.
Oh, I'm not saying that it wasn't unnecessary, but it does have that sort of over the top feel to me with it.
You could have just cut their heads off, Harry. Instead, you brought hell into this.
Not overly, because if you go like to the Alien movies, fire is the best way to kill a xenomorph, and it's got acid blood. So if you cut off its head, you're gonna actually cause a lot more damage.
Fair enough. The problem we have is that Harry has two fire spells. He's got his own fire, or he's got using Fallen Angel Fire, and he chose Fallen Angel Fire, and we're judging him for it.
Except he does mention, this is what I find interesting, because he's like, I called up all this Hellfire and then used his wind spell. Because he uses Fozari, he uses the force to blow it back.
Yeah, it's not a wind spell, it's kinetic spell.
Force. Well, he uses it often as wind. Yes, now he's using it as a limiting bigger himself.
He's not,
yeah.
Gotta have a little bit of variety.
Exactly.
This is Harry Potter, okay? I don't write down the rules of what every spell does. I can change them up as needed, okay?
Yeah, well, no, and it is how much. But I just meant that, yes, normally in the past, he's used it for little things, right? Like, yeah, tossing a staff to him or whatever. Yeah, so he uses it at a much greater level this time. But yeah, it was just kind of funny because he's like, oh, I drew up all this hellfire and you're waiting. I'm expecting to hear the fuego. And then he's like, Fozare. And I was like, what? But I was like, oh, so you use the power of the hellfire. I mean, naturally use any fire. But that makes a good point. Like you say in the movies, if it was, why didn't he just, I mean, although again, he points out all the time, he's got a habit of burning down buildings. So I guess had he released fire, it wouldn't have just killed this. He would have set the hotel on fire, not just the thing. So fair.
He found a way to use fire without using fire. What a fucking cheater.
He's like, this is
pony.
Perfect. Perfect.
He knocks the snot out of it. There's acid burns everywhere. And then Mouse, Rollins, and Murphy show up, which seems to sort of help ground him and bring him back to like sort of this present moment.
Yeah.
And, like, Harry tries to point out the injured girl, and they notice all of the other victims.
Yeah, and they're like, she's gone.
Not so injured, but just dead.
And he's like, what? No, she's fine, right? I just did, yeah. And I got
it's
a feel
fine,
for Harry.
Right, guys?
Right?
Guys?
It was just a scratch. She was doing okay.
She's just sleeping.
Like, rest. And I got a feel for Harry here, because I was like, oh, man. Because again, like you say, on the one hand, it feels like he goes a little over the top. But at the same time, he's now a couple of days into these things popping up and just slaughtering people and beating the crap, right? So I'm like, I also got, plus, like you said, he's been waiting and waiting and waiting. He's tired. He's cranky, right? Like, all these factors building in where you're like, I get that you're past your edge now and you just have zero fucks for these things anymore and
no more fucks to give
at all, right?
Runneth dry.
But at the same time, right, he's did he waste time and energy? Should he just have let it get away? Because I didn't realize she was as injured as she obviously was, you know, knew she kind of got hurt, but was like, whatever, let me just deal with this thing. So
it is, however, a great excuse for him to beat himself up emotionally.
Which is always needed in these books.
Always needed. And again, just enough validity to it to make it real, right?
Yeah, I feel for him at the same time. Wasn't this your plan?
And that's the other thing. But again, which also makes it more...
I get it. Now it's even more self-loathing
because, exactly. He did allow these people to get used as bait, and a few of them...
There's been a couple of times reading this particular book where I've been like, my God, you're like an emotional teenager.
He's a baby.
Book.
Oh, my God, Harry. Jesus Christ.
Well, because I was going to say, at the same time, she's not the only one. There's one or two other people... elsewhere that this thing got
to. Yeah, and you already decided, okay, I was too late for them, but I'm going to at least save this one last girl. And doesn't. But.
Yeah, and that's kind of, like, I guess she was right there. Like, fine, the other people you didn't see, they were, you know what I mean? But again, it almost feels a little bit like, well, you're not having this, obviously you feel bad that other people died, but you're not having the same, right?
You took ownership of the problem after the fact.
It got to her and was tearing her up before you did your best to divert it or whatever.
Who knows if any first aid would have helped her at that point anyway.
And who knows? And I mean, again, when you're feeling bad, it doesn't matter. We've all had the what ifs, and exactly, like, right. He's a little, the wind kind of gets taken out of his sails yet again. So now on top of all the physical, he has
you fucking suck at your job, Harry.
Emotional, and he's just, right. And legs give out.
Murphy is quick to take charge of the scene. Like she gets Rollins to sort of
go Murph,
keep an eyeball on.
Well, even just like I gotta organize this clusterfuck. It is exactly go Murph.
Yeah, and again, nobody, whether it's her jurisdiction or not, she's the highest authority figure right there in the moment.
Just the immediately starts pointing at cops and you're doing this. We've got a game plan immediately. I'm proud of you, Murph.
I'm proud of you, Murph. Yeah.
If only our wizard boy could. Get himself together like that.
Hold himself together in these crises like that. Yeah, and even Rollins, because Rollins is like, holy fuck, when he sees the actual damage this thing caught. And of course, it's long gone because it just melted into, which I wonder when you were like smashing his head in, I was like, maybe because it instantly killed him and turned to ectoplasm before it could like acid burn everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was his one saving grace too. So the second it was dead, it wasn't actually leaking true fluids anymore. But exactly, right? There's nothing that you just seen the aftermath. And Rollins is like, holy. But again, as soon as Murphy is like, okay, you've got this job to do. You're in charge of that. And Rollins, again, that good, sturdy, fall back on training, fall back, level head in a crisis, right? Rollins is kind of there too. Like, this is fucked, but okay, yeah.
Well, and you can appreciate, Shay, that for how hard a xenomorph is to kill and how destructive they are, just how hardcore Harry went to whoop this thing's ass.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like,
yes.
Just went to fucking town.
Oh, bouncing this thing around like a basketball off walls and floors and ceilings and,
That almost makes it worse, though. It's so much expended effort for almost nothing. They're like bugs. There's an infinite amount of phobophages. You're putting all this effort in to get one, and there's going to be another 20 tomorrow, and then 40, and then 50.
Well, but he's hoping not, because the other three that he managed to snag... went sent after.
Right. So the guy who was apparently sending them.
Yeah, he's hoping maybe that guy is dead or at the very least
incapacitated. The one of the four.
Yeah, so that is part
of
it.
That's just one coming through. There's still technically a bajillion in existence, but hopefully.
Well, yes, but that's everything in the never never. So if there's nobody summoning them, they won't keep coming through, right? But yes.
So Rollins makes the suggestion that they head down to the lobby to get out of the clusterfuck.
Okay, and I have to say, though, this is an extra kick in the teeth when he's, like, recognizes one of the little vampire girls from the day. I was like, dude, no. Because you knew they were, like, 15, 16. Like,
thank you, Jim Butcher. You are an author.
That was, That was just. And then that whole thing where it's like.
Are they scary now, Harry? Are you still scared of them?
Yeah. And then just the fact that, because her head was facing me and all the other parts were into, like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. The devastation of the bodies is pretty brutal.
You need
sort of
the jigsaw to figure. I'm like, oh, dude. But yeah, that upset me. I was like, no. Stupid vampire girls. So, yes.
Yeah. So in the lobby, Murphy is there overseeing and watching the EMTs work on Rick, who has been hurt. And Green is also close by with minor head wound.
I can't stand Murphy. Your ex-husband's been shot. You should be celebrating. And now you're sad. He married your sister. He's sleeping with your sister.
You should have gone up to him and be like, hey, you know what that is? Karma.
Exactly.
Okay, get this guy to a hospital.
She can't even tear her gaze away. She's worried about him. She's so upset. Harry has to go and comfort her about this. Ugh, Murphy, I hate it when you're a good person. It's disgusting.
This guy screwed you over. You should be dancing. You should be going
right, he's
up.
He's not dead, so you don't have to be right. You can just be like, ha ha, you got hurt.
That's exactly what I mean, though. It's like, okay, maybe if Rick was dead, it'd be a little bit like, oh, I don't know how to feel about this. Who cares? Just got shot. A little fuck. And the phobophages didn't have guns, so it was friendly fire, so.
Right?
Yeah, it's actually.
Random.
Green is just like, fuck you.
Opportunity. Jurisdiction.
But I love this too when.
You can track this slug, but not before I get you.
But when Green realizes Rollins there and part, like, I sent you home. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I just love it. These are not the droids you're looking for.
I left something behind.
Yeah. I just came back to grab my wallet.
Yeah,
but I just.
Random button.
The pseudo Jedi
moment
is really just funny.
It is. Well, I love how Harry pulls like his Jedi mind trick, and it's really not a Jedi. He's like, he's just fucking concussed, bro.
I've dealt with idiots with concussions before. I'm usually the idiot.
I usually am the idiot with the concussion. Sorry, we woke the cat. I just got glared at. His head jerked up when I got the brown. But yes. Yeah, just he's like Rollins. So you ever do divorces? Yeah, sadly, that's not the juju. That's just he's fucked in the head right now. Yeah.
So Murph does ask Rollins to sort of babysit Harry and Rollins, and then they sort of walk away. And Rollins calls Murphy one cast iron bitch in this total.
Respectful regard. Holy fuck, yeah.
But then also explains to Harry that it could also be a really bad thing. And it's not going to go well for Murphy.
Someone's got to get blamed. Yeah. So despite the fact that she took it into hand and probably saved a bunch of lives and got things as quickly as she could. Exactly. You were there, though, and shit happened. Yeah, so
being in charge
you
of this mess
like
is not going to be good. And that's so unfair. The FBI is really the ones who should have stepped up and been in charge and gotten the blame.
Right. But, oh, no, but he got shot. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think she's probably, like, the third person down at the... At least in the chain of command here, because we've got...
Well, just say it. Rick would be... And then Green, it's his case. And then, you say... I'm not sure. Do we know...
We don't have any other cops, but we know that SI wasn't called in on this. There was a different branch of cops.
Yeah.
But she did manage to work her way into being...
Well, she kind of wiggled in with...
It's only in this one moment that she's actually wrestled control.
I can't remember if we've been given a rank for... Is he a sergeant? Is he a green?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I feel like lieutenant is higher than sergeant.
I thought it was just detective.
Is he a detective?
He's just agent.
Well, he's not an agent. Green is a cop. Rick is an agent.
Oh, I thought Green was also an FBI.
No, Green. But anyways, regardless, I was going to say I don't know how. But I mean, yes, he has sort of the it's his case. So he's, but I was going to say she might technically outrank him, but because it's not his
thing. He's a sergeant.
He's a sergeant. I feel like lieutenant is higher than sergeant, though. I feel like sergeant is the next step up from like patrol, right? In fact, Lieutenant
is higher than sergeant.
Yeah. So technically she might outrank him in that sense, but like I say, because it's his, she probably still makes her third in line because technically she's not supposed to be. I don't know, but regardless.
Still going to suck for her.
Yeah. She's still going to get...
You want to be in charge so bad?
Yeah, exactly. Well, now you can have it. The rest of the time, get the fuck out of our way and stay out of my case. But
Harry and Rollins leave the area and start tracking the remaining phages. And as they reach Rollins' car, a van rushes towards them. And
so fucking rude.
Mouse gets Harry out of the way, but is unfortunately struck by the van.
That's it. Everybody has to die now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Keanu Reeves, done. Where you at?
And the only reason they don't is because Harry gets knocked out immediately. Which, again, I'm
Tire
like,
iron would suck.
That, to me, seems really brutal. I'm like, that's like a crushed skull to me, yeah. Not just a knocked out.
Yeah, broken bones for sure.
Like, even like a moderate person. Like, I'm pretty sure even if I swung a fucking tire iron, like...
They're doing real damage.
At someone's head. Even more than like a bat or anything like that. Like, unless he literally just kind of tapped him with it and let the...
I put a sock around it. Sneak it into the convention.
Except he didn't have to because now they're in the garage, which is where tire irons live. But yes, that to me, I was like, especially after all he's taken, I'm like, yeah, you're surprised that thing didn't just crush your skull in. Thank you very much. But
good thing he's got a hard head.
Good thing. But even that, Harry's all about like, oh, like, okay, I know you're like concussed and slowed it. But I'm like, you have enough time to like power up your staff. But not enough time to actually do anything or, like, bring up your shield bracelet.
Shock.
I know. It's like, ugh, whatever. But, yeah, the fact that, yeah.
This is also, how many times have I brought up, this concussion would have killed him! This would have killed him!
Wizard healing!
Temperance Brennan. Yes.
Butters gave us wizard healing.
Yes, but he even says in here, immediate damage.
Wizard healing!
Takes a lot of time.
You're still fucked.
But yes, whatever the reason, obviously none of it. And he gets, so instead of destroying everybody that just hurt his dog, just fade black.
Bye-bye.
This concludes our episode 17.16, Express Elevator to Hell. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links for other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.